Are you committed to eating clean, especially when it comes to your protein powder? With Puri's PW1 whey protein powder, you can trust that you're getting the purest ingredients without harmful chemicals or toxins. Over the last few years, I've been more interested in cleaning up our environment, cleaning up the foods that we're eating, especially with the food that I'm giving to my children. My 4-year-old is the pickiest eater, and it's difficult to get him to eat a lot of protein. So I love that I can throw Puri's protein powder into his smoothies or pancakes. Puri is third-party tested against over 200 contaminants. It's free from hormones, GMOs, pesticides, soy, and gluten, delivering 21 grams of protein per serving. Plus, like I said, it tastes delicious, even for the pickiest of eaters. So don't just take my word for it. With Puri, you can find the actual data behind every batch, which makes Puri a supplement brand that you can trust. And right now, Puri is offering my listeners 20% off their PW1 whey protein and all their great products. So go to my exclusive URL, puri.com/minimalist, and use my promo code minimalist. This even applies to the already discounted subscriptions, so you'll get almost a third off the price. Go to puri.com/minimalist and don't wait. Use promo code minimalist at puri.com/minimalist. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. I'm so happy to partner with ByHeart because their goal is to create a future where all parents feel amazing about feeding their baby, no matter how they do it. Their mission is simple: make the best infant formula in the world. Let me tell you a little bit more. ByHeart's patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk by including the two most abundant proteins in breast milk, plus whole and partially broken down proteins for a nutritious blend that's gentle on tummies. ByHeart ran a clinical trial where they compared their formula to a leading infant formula, improved benefits like less spit up, easier digestion, and so much more. ByHeart is leading the ways in a lot of ways. They're the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed, whole milk, not skim. It's the only new infant formula brand to add a comparison to breast milk in their clinical trial. And ByHeart is the first infant formula company to receive Clean Label Project's Purity Award. So are you curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code minimalist for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. Hello and welcome to the Minimalist Moms Podcast. I'm Diane. I'm a mother of three living in Columbus, Ohio. I'm trying to make room in my life for what matters by getting rid of the clutter and living life with purpose. I hope you'll join me on the journey to think more and do with less. I'm so excited to introduce you to my guest today, Tracy Showalter. She's a busy mom of three, wife, and founder of The Lighthouse Co. She's also quickly become a good friend of mine, and she's from Columbus, Ohio as well. She has a passion for cleaning and organizing. She left corporate America after 15 years to pursue her dream job of professional organizing. And through her work, she aims to change her clients' lives by restoring order and creating a sense of calm within their homes. As I said, Tracy has quickly become a good friend of mine, and I knew that I wanted to have her on the show to talk about her experiences decluttering her clients' homes, what that's been like for her, why she started professional organizing in the first place, how she helps her clients navigate the emotional side of decluttering, and much more. We had so much fun recording this episode together. There's not really a formal introduction like with most of my episodes. We just hit record and I wanted to see where the conversation would take us. I do think we barely scratched the surface on what I wanted to talk to her about. Unfortunately, the conversation ended quite abruptly, which I decided to leave in for you all to see what it was like in real time recording this conversation. But I had a bit of a family emergency. Everyone's fine. I ended up having to go pick up my son from school and it was unplanned. So we had to stop the recording. But I hope to have Tracy back in the future because it was so fun to record with her. She's so wise. She's so fun. And I think the thing that comes through the most when you're talking with her is that she really does want to help people overcome their clutter. And I mean that not just in a tangible sense, but she wants to help clear the mental clutter that comes with having too much stuff. Again, I feel like we just scratched the surface of where I wanted this episode to take us, but I hope this is helpful to you as you maybe asking yourself, how did I get here? How did I get to the point where I have a household full of things that I didn't approve, that I never wanted in the first place, and yet I'm finding myself in this position where it's time to start decluttering, it's time to start organizing, it's time to get rid of this weight that is on my shoulders that I don't have to carry. So hopefully we address some of these things in this episode, but before we get there, I want to share my minimalist resource of the week with you. my minimalist resource this week is the 1 Second Everyday app. I'm pretty sure that I'm several years behind a lot of you that have known about this app for a while. So for those of you that aren't familiar with it, 1 Second Everyday, you can capture video footage, or what I do is I take all my photos in live, and then when you go to upload them into the app, the live is transformed into video footage for the 1 second of the day. I've really enjoyed it as a simple way to document our days without having to go through and scrapbook every single moment. I do love digital scrapbooks on Shutterfly, but this has just been a little bit more manageable for me right now as I have not had the time to keep up with all of our family scrapbooks. At the end of the month or at the end of the year, you can upload it to Instagram, or you can take a screen recording or save it to your phone, and then you have this little digital archive of all your memories just 1 second of the day over the month. Again, this is probably not a new resource for a lot of you, but if you are interested, it is the 1 Second Everyday Journal in the App Store, and I'll be sure to link it for you as I always do. All right, let's get into this conversation with Tracy. I'm just going to hit record.
Okay.
I usually say hello and welcome to the... No, I don't.
Whatever
I don't,
you want.
I don't do that. Well, usually I would say, Tracy, thanks so much for joining me on the Minimalist Moms podcast. So robotic.
Let's do it differently.
Well, no, this is probably going to go live. I'm just going to share this. So we are currently in a closet recording this podcast live, which I rarely get the opportunity to do because I don't talk to a lot of people from Columbus, which I'm very interested in. But Tracy, I think you're one of my first people that I've ever interviewed in Columbus. So welcome.
Hey, heck yeah. Let's do this.
Yes. So today, well, let's go back. You and I connected because we're both local to Columbus. Yeah. And I practice minimalism and decluttering. You are a professional organizer. Mm-hmm. And so we got connected last year and knew that we wanted to sit down and talk with one another.
Yeah.
And I think today we're going to be mostly sharing about your experiences decluttering people's homes, but also just what the journey has looked like for you as well.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Well, why don't you go ahead, introduce yourself, and we will dive into the conversation.
Okay, I'm so excited. Yes, my cousin slid into Diane's DMs and connected us, and I was so excited because I have another neighbor basically doing the same thing I'm doing right here in Columbus. So I started a company called The Lighthouse Co. about 2 years ago, and it was something that I have been doing personally for my entire life, just a lot of discipline at home, and I like to control my own environment. And I started doing it professionally for clients, like I said, 2 years ago, and it really took off, which opened my eyes to this need and to this almost overriding nature that we are in this consumerism and materialism, and we all live in this world of excess. And so I come in, and while I am a professional organizer, I almost like to say I'm a professional declutterer first, because I really aim to help people live with less, live with more intention, less stuff, and clear out all the nonsense in their house so they can live better, and help their families and their kids and their marriages, etc. So that's a little bit about me.
Yeah. We were brainstorming and what do we want the direction of this interview to go? And I think we both arrived at so many people find themselves in the position to say, how did I get here? You can continually declutter, but if you're continually bringing things into the home, you're not stopping the acquisition, you're not stopping the consumerism and the materialism. And oftentimes it sounds like your clients are saying, how did I get to this point?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one thing that we wanted to talk about today. But quickly before we get there, I also wanted to talk about, you said you like to control your home and you like to control your space. You have 3 kids. You are very minimalist, actually. When I came over the other day, I was shocked because so many people say it and they don't practice what they preach.
Yeah.
I think I'm that person. I don't fully practice what I preach because things are starting to build up.
Yeah.
What does the story look like for you?
Okay, first of all, I'm coming to your house.
I know.
I'm coming.
I know.
Okay, my story is I grew up in a military family and I was very, very controlled growing up. And we had like lists of chores and they were checked constantly. So like, I grew up in this control, disciplined environment. There were certain aspects of that that I love. Like, I love the discipline that I was given, but I was not in control when I was little. And so now I seek out control. And I had 3 kids in 4 years. And so I was like rapidly out of control. Mm-hmm. And I found that I had to dive in and be a very active participant in what was coming into the house and what was coming into the spaces, because you blink and you can have an entire house filled with stuff that you didn't even approve, you know? And so, and it's working with yourself, your family, your partner, their family, friends, mm-hmm. aunts, uncle, you know, there's so much acquisition that's happening. Mm-hmm. And so you really have to, I almost say, managing your inventory. Think about a store like Target. You know, they have all these clearances constantly. They're constantly trying to get rid of stuff because they have to manage their inventory. They're bringing more in. So if we think about our houses in that way, it's like, you know, we have to move stuff out, and we're not. We are not moving stuff out. I see it every single day. So what we end up with is this out of control, excess, mass chaos, stuff in every drawer, cabinet, closet. And then we end up wondering, well, how the hell did I get here? And that is, I think, the theme too, is what we wanted to talk about today, because mm-hmm. I see it. So many people are living this right now. So if you're listening and you're living this, like, how did I get here? How is my house in this state? Keep listening, because we have so much more.
You shared yesterday a before and after. And with the before, I thought to myself, how did this person get here? This stuff just looks like it really did pile up. Yeah. Legitimately, there were just piles. I think that I'm starting to see that in my own basement, just how easy it is to allow it to build. And it's like, okay, we take something down. There's a box right there. I'm going to set these picture frames on top of it that I want to sell. And then you leave. And then it's like, okay, we're going to bring something else down. Charlotte's Barbies. She doesn't want them anymore. So we're going to set them right next to it. And then without even noticing, you have all these random piles of things that need addressed and you intended to deal with. But it seems like when you just come and look at everything you have left out and never addressed, that seems daunting and overwhelming. So you just go back upstairs.
Yeah.
I have empathy for people that do experience that, because it does happen so quickly.
Yeah. It depends. I guess it depends on the house. And it's funny, the picture that you're talking about, mm-hmm. This basement, I mean, this brand new, huge, gorgeous new house. And, you know, this little back basement area didn't really match the mm-hmm. rest of it from a construction standpoint, and also just stuff everywhere. But right outside was like this amazing gym and like this huge, you know, 15-foot ceiling basement. Like, this whole house was to the nines. Yeah, they would come down and they would just dump everything in the basement. And I see that pattern mm-hmm. happen in, I don't care what your house looks like, the pattern happens, because once you establish the habit, you're like, oh, that's easy. I'm going to put the Barbies down here and I'm going to put these picture frames. And that to me is the aspirational keep. You want to be the person that's going to take your precious time and energy and sell those things. But you're not. Mm-hmm. But you want to be, so that you have the aspiration to want to do that. And then dumping encourages dumping, and the habit's there. And then all of a sudden you're just left with piles. Yeah. And you look at the pile and you feel like a big piece of shit.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh my God, I feel shame and guilt around this. Like,
yeah,
what the heck? I didn't do something that I said I would do. You know, I don't trust myself anymore. Mm-hmm. And that leads into a spiral. So I relieve people a lot of that. I say permission to just donate or get rid of mm-hmm. in the moment. So you don't have to save and add to a project and a to-do list down the road, because 9 out of 10 people aren't going to do it.
Where I'm having some insight to where even 5 years ago I was probably judgmental is that finding the time, now that I'm homeschooling with the podcast, with all the other things, we're all juggling multiple roles. And so I think that I discredited when someone says, I don't have time. I was like, oh yeah, you do. You do have time. You have to find the time. But like, I think about that with reading. People are like, oh, I don't have time to read. And it's like, well, are you watching Netflix for several hours? There's your time to read. So I think it's that. But then at the end of the day, you're tired and you're exhausted and you're like, I don't want to go declutter. I just want to do this. Those are some of the excuses that I've heard, or even I've given to myself for justification as to why the piles are starting to build. Yeah. But what have you seen, or what have you heard from clients? What are their reasons that, hey, I just this is why this is the way it is.
Okay, so time is a huge thing.
Yeah.
I mean, even this morning I had several. I don't have time.
Yeah.
And I have four kids and we both have jobs. Okay, so that's an easy one. I hear so much about boundaries with in-laws, and I love when I can sit down with a couple.
Yeah.
Because I hear in-laws from both sides, and there's a lot of like, but your mother-in-law did this and your sister brought this over. So there's a lot of managing boundaries with in-laws and the things that are coming in.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of sentimental burden.
Yeah.
What I mean when I say that is, well, grandma gave this to my mom. Mom gave it to me because she didn't know what to do with it. And now I have to keep it in my house
mm-hmm.
and essentially pass it down to my kid because I don't know what to do with it. And then your kid doesn't know.
It, yeah.
And it just gets passed down and down and down. So there's a lot of those types of keeps. And then I would like to do something. It's worth something one day. I would like to sell
yeah.
it. So I feel like those four are the overarching reasons mm-hmm. that we have ended up mm-hmm. in these houses that are almost like storage units to a sense. But for you, if you're saying like you can get out ahead of this, you and Marty can go down for 15 minutes, you know, like that's, I would say, a luxury because mm-hmm. a lot of people can't. They have these houses that are filled to the brim.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they went down for 15 minutes, a lot of what I'm seeing these clients, and they're not hoarders, but they have gotten in too deep
mm-hmm.
to where 15 minutes would not really benefit them. And then, you know, essentially they don't have the time. And again, this is another reason why my company exists, because we recognize, okay, you don't have time
mm-hmm.
or maybe it's just not your priority and you want someone else to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we can come in and help them do that and just mark the project off the to-do list.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you noticed with your clients that they're perfectionistic and they say, I want to do it well and I don't know where to start? And that's where you can come in and help guide them. And also, the thing is, there's still going to have to be maintaining that happens here.
Yeah.
How would you encourage people to set up, even if they bring someone in or if they do it themselves? What does it look like long term?
I love this question. We come in, we set up systems for clients. All we talk about is the best way to set up their system. And before we leave, we talk about the habits and how to execute and pull through that system. I say, we can set up the systems. You and your family have to have these habits in place, meaning everybody has to be on board.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot just be a mom setting up her pantry, because if the kids and the husband are not involved, then it's just going to go right down the tube. So the back end of that really is these small daily habits to maintain the space.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to. But on the other end of that, with perfectionism, we live in a world where Pinterest and Instagram and everybody has these picture perfect spaces. And, you know, my company specifically, we don't go after the picture perfect space. It has to be functional for the family.
Mm-hmm.
So every house tells a story. Every couple tells a different story. So we have to make it functional to the season of life that the clients are in, and we get everybody's input. So for you and Marty, it's like, well, how does this particular space need to function? I didn't set it out to be this way, but so many wives are typically who I work with. I have like 10 guys that follow me, and they're very active and they're amazing, and their husbands, and they're like, don't forget about me. Like,
mm-hmm.
I love the husbands that follow me, but I'm 99% wives and women. And the perfectionism and where that gets sticky is because they want it to look like the picture perfect overnight. They want the perfect bins, but then that's kind of costly. They want it to look a certain way, but their space doesn't start that way, so they can't achieve that. And they just think, you know what, if I can't get that 10 out of 10, then I'm just not going to start.
Yeah.
And so that's where I think the perfectionism can get in the way on the front end. On the back end, where I see perfectionism getting in the way is clients who have to donate it to the perfect place. For example, I want this to go to this donation site, and this goes to this charity, and Furniture Bank will pick this one up. And so then there's like so much extra work created there. They can't even finish a load of laundry, but they want to take 10 different donation piles to 10 different, because it's the right thing to do. And I get it. But when you're in that deep, I again try to just allow them to relieve themselves of all the burden of that and just get it out of your house and start fresh next time and do the right thing next time. But you have to like relinquish that.
Rip the band-aid off.
Yeah. Just like get it out of your space. Mm-hmm. Get it out, let it go. And then you can start fresh with, you know, so much less and more intention. And then the habit of like, okay, well, we didn't need this and we're just going to drop that off at Goodwill or Joseph's Coat or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You say that with your clients, or you were telling me that there are a lot of tears when you were working with people. Tell me more about the tears that you've experienced.
Oh my gosh. This is probably my favorite part of the job. It's usually when I have a consult with somebody. They don't even want to flip. It's usually virtual. They don't want to flip the camera around and show me. They're like, their voice starts shaking. They're like, oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed. Even when Abby and I, my teammate, we show up at a house, we always get the excuses, which is fine. Yeah. They say like, oh, it doesn't usually look this bad. Or, oh my gosh, it's not usually this dirty. There's so much guilt and shame around these spaces. And then it's either right when we get there, I've had meltdowns. Last week I showed up 9 a.m. This woman was like crying, telling me she's rock bottom because it gets to a certain point and then you just say, I'm broken. I can't do it anymore. Help is on the way. So there's tears of relief. We had, I'm just speaking from the most recent client. So there's tears of relief. There's tears of shame last week of like, why have I kept this for so long? Speaking about just these piles of paperwork that she had just gone through. But then we were there with her going through it. And she was getting rid of so many more because she needed the third party accountability. And then there's sometimes tears of like laughter where they're like, what is wrong with me? Like, what am I doing? When you can feel and touch and see all of your clutter and all of the excess. And that's part of the process. We get it all out surrounding everyone. And then the last and final would be on the other end, like on the complete opposite end of the project, starting the project, ending the project. We're leaving these houses and they're just wrapping their arms around us. Like, you've changed our lives. You've changed our family. And I have so many amazing client testimonials that say like, gosh, we just realized so much when working with you that we don't need as much to be happy. You know, like happiness isn't tied into things. We don't bring as much in anymore. We're very thoughtful before we bring anything in. Do we need it? Can we get it secondhand? Can we borrow it from someone? Because at the end of the day, all that stuff takes on meaning at home. Then you have a decision. It's stressful. It takes up your space. And so I think the tears on the back end are like, hey, I'm starting a new chapter and we're never going back to where we were before.
One thing that you said that was really interesting is that it can cause so much conflict in relationships and in marriage if one of us has a tendency to keep too many things, or we're, again, not hoarders. These are normal families, normal, put it in quotes. These are just your average family. And yeah, there can be conflict there between spouses because I don't like what you're bringing in. I don't like that you have the space. I want to declutter, but I don't want to. So do you have any quick tips for how the spouses can come together or how partners can come together to work with one another? I always suggest start with your own stuff first and then hopefully they'll follow. But if you're curating that spot for yourself, at least you have a little bit of a refuge in your own home, but what would your suggestions be?
Well, and that kind of says to me, like, control what you can control. So, like, you can control Diane, but you can't really control Marty, but you can try to bring him along because you know the benefits of minimalism, let's say. And what I see is there's always one. So I sit down with couples every single day, and no matter what, it's there's always one that really has this aspiration to, like, want to live lighter and live with less and whatever. And one's like, nah, it doesn't bug me as much. So we have to really meet our partner where they're at. Open communication is key. Clearly, I am the one in the house that is like minimal and doesn't want to shop and bring things in. And Mark, my husband, is the one that does. But I'm constantly letting him know how it makes me feel. We talk a lot about, you know, the financial aspect of it. And I mean, he's not crazy. Let's be honest. But, but still, like, I, the things that trigger me when it comes to like all this extra stuff, we share a closet. I'm like, oh my gosh, it can be like really overwhelming in that sense. But I have to also remember, like, he's a grown man. He makes his own money. He can make his own decisions. And it's not hurting the family. So, yeah. So I think there's a lot of compromise in that. And what I can control is because I'm a, like kind of a stay-at-home mom, even though I run this company. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like he works, you know, his corporate mm-hmm. job is that I am mostly in control of what the kids and I bring in. Mm-hmm. And so like I control that aspect of it. But our communication on finances, what comes in, boundaries with families, that's where him and I are like on the exact same page.
Well, I definitely want to ask you your opinions on what areas of the home that we can quickly declutter and clear that are game changers. I always like to see people's opinions on that. I will say when I came into your house, one of the first things I noticed is your countertops are totally clean.
100%.
Cleared.
I know. I definitely practice what I preach. I talk to people all the time about that. I'm like, clear counters equals a clear mind. I'm heavily affected by my environment, mm-hmm. but I know that about myself. Like I'm that in tune. I get it. And I think a lot of people might not equate the two, mm-hmm. but I see it.
Yeah.
I see it. I'm like, oh my gosh, no wonder you're stressed out. Look at the state of your house right now. And that's not a guilty thing or a shameful thing. It's just like, I understand why, because I'm the same way. But yeah, I practice what I preach. Okay. Simple things you can declutter right mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. Kitchen drawers.
Okay.
Okay. Everybody has 20 spatulas and 20 whisks and all the fancy gadgets that you don't need. Pantries are out of control with the amount of food and the options and whatever. Mudrooms, like seasonally removing, we live in Ohio, so mm-hmm. we have all four seasons. So like I do it twice a year, seasonally removing all the big, heavy stuff in mm-hmm. the summer or whatever and moving it to a completely different area. Kids' shoe sizes and coats that aren't yeah. fitting, like getting all that stuff out. And that spills over into the kids' rooms mm-hmm. also. And then I see like spices and medicine cabinets. Yeah. Just these little things.
Yeah, for sure.
That build up mm-hmm. and nobody really tends to them as much because they're like, oh yeah, whatever. And you get really used to it. But mm-hmm. again, you blink and it's gone. Okay, can I say something about mm-hmm. it? I tell everybody that when something comes into your house, when it crosses the threshold, you own that. So whether you want to donate it the next day, sell it, if you have the time and energy, get rid of it immediately, re-gift it, the mm-hmm. choice is yours. But everything that does come in, managing that inventory.
Yeah.
Can I just say too, like,
yeah, when we're talking, say whatever you want. Okay. Yeah. I'll throw it back in wherever.
Well, when we're talking about like, how did we get here? I mean, because I'm seeing it every single day. Uh-huh. And so I can drive through a beautiful neighborhood.
Yeah.
And like what other people see, beautiful houses and nice cars or whatever. I see spaces to fill up with stuff.
Yeah.
And again, because I'm in kind of like, you know, my friend who's a dentist, she looks at my kids' teeth. She's like, oh, she'll need, you know, braces at some point or whatever. That's just kind of your profession. So I see it in such a different way.
Yeah.
And then working inside of these houses with so many of these couples that are all experiencing the same thing. And I don't want to normalize like having clutter as a thing and it's great or whatever. I don't want to sensationalize that. But the normalization is that we live in this convenient, fast fashion emphasis on looks. So everybody wants like the nice cars, the nice clothes, the kids to have the best stuff, the best toys, all these big parties. And then I see the back end of that mm-hmm. where it really impacts the mom, the marriage, the family. But everything's so easy. Everything is so easy. And what we're talking about is that no one's really talking about how to manage it and how to manage your house mm-hmm. and how to deal with living in a fast-paced, convenient world. Mm-hmm. Because we can blink and we can have anything at our fingertips. But what you can't do, you can't blink and have an intentional space. Like this takes time. This is something you talk about. You've been doing it for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I've been living this way like my whole life and I'm still getting better and learning. But, you know, that instant gratification mm-hmm. of just being like, I just want everything gone.
Yeah. Well,
that's not really how it works.
Yeah.
You know, you really have to rewire your brain, establish healthier, newer habits, set up boundaries with family, friends, in-laws, mm-hmm. spouses, etc., and really rework your daily lives in order to have the kind of house that you want to live in. Mm-hmm. Like, define the house first. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So I feel like we are barely scratched the surface, but we're hitting about a half hour mark. So I want to let you go and wrap some things up. Before we end things, can you share where people can find you if they want to connect?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram solely right now at @_lighthouseco. DM me, ask me anything.
Well, as we wrap things up here, I'm going to ask you the two questions that I ask every guest. And the first one is, what has been a beneficial resource to you that you'd like to share with the listeners?
Okay. I see the financial impact of clutter mm-hmm. constantly. And I mean, I've been following this guy, Dave Ramsey, forever.
Yeah.
I love him. And his daughter now does it too. And I just feel yes. like her name's Rachel Cruz. And I feel like she does such an amazing job of breaking this stuff down. She had a post today about clothes. And she's like,
my babysitter.
Oh my God, we have to answer that.
Hello?
What did you think of the episode? I hope you enjoyed the conversation. To learn more about today's guest, including links, resources related to everything discussed today, visit the episode page at minimalistmomspodcast.com, where you can find the entire podcast archive, as well as my book, Minimalist Moms, Living and Parenting with Simplicity, or other ways to connect or work with me online. If you'd like to support the podcast, the easiest and most impactful thing you can do is subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and leave a rating or review of your favorite episode. Lastly, sharing the show or your favorite episode with friends on social media is very helpful and will encourage others on their journey to think more and do with less.